Hey there, church. It's Pastor Will here. It's my privilege to host this weekend's service. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Chet impressed us with his attire. So I thought, you know, I better up my game a little bit. Anyways, it's good to be together. And it's good to also have a little bit of fun in this season. So I want to welcome you all. We've got a great service lined up for you. We're discovering in this season that we can still be the church. We can still worship. We can still be instructed by God's word. We can pray together. We can give and support the work of bringing about God's kingdom in our community. And so that's part of the reason why we continue to do this. So glad that you've joined together with us, and we trust that we'll have a good experience together. Right off the top, I just want to read from a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pastor Darren's going to be preaching about Jesus as our sanctifier, and this text speaks to this. Paul writes, he says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." So this is where we're kind of headed for our service today. We've got wonderful service lined up. Raquel is going to be leading us in worship. It'll be brilliant. And so just encourage you to engage. I've asked Tyler to put up a screenshot of our church online page, so that we can all become a little bit more familiar with the options and the tools that are available through this resource. I know many of you have been using it already. Some of you are having a little more challenging in terms of the streaming and are finding it easier to watch through the Facebook page. But we really want to encourage you to come back to this particular site because of the interactive nature, and so that we can participate together as God's people. On the screenshot here, you'll notice at the top white banner, there's an option for giving, there's some communion resources, and there's also VAC Kids. Each of these, when you click on them, will take you to a link towards their respective things. So if you want to give to the work of Vernon Alliance Church, click on the Give button. It'll take you through the Tithely app. This week, specifically, I want to really encourage those of you with kids that are normally involved with VAC Kids or VAC Tots. There's some great resources they've got there. Probably best to save it for after the service, and then they can click on those resources and utilize those and be a real encouragement to them. On the left side, in kind of in the main screen there, you've got the video section. You'll have to click the little arrow to press play so that the video runs when we're streaming. Also, for those of you that have had challenges with it buffering too often, there's a setting there where you can adjust the resolution quality. If you lower that, you may find that your streaming improves. So that's what you can do there. On the right side, on the main box there, there's a couple of options on the bottom of that. There's a chat box, there's a Bible, and you can click on those to involve yourselves in either of those. There's also an option to invite others, and I really want to encourage you, take this time to invite your friends and get them to come and check out what's going on and what God's doing in our community and how we are still growing as God's people together. When you first get online onto the site, if you click the chat box, it's a great place for you to interact with other people, greet each other. We want to encourage us as a community to continue to connect with one another. So greet people, let us know where you're watching from, and it's a great way for us to stay connected. To the bottom of that section, you'll notice in the blue area, there is a request prayer button. That will direct you into a private chat that's only between you and one of the pastoral staff, and they will then engage with you individually, and you can have, you know, just talk to them about whatever particular prayer request you have, and they will walk through that with you. It's completely private. It's separate from the open chat. And so I want to really encourage you to make use of the tools that are available on this resource. this point, we want to just quieten ourselves. And as we come into God's presence, we have a great time of worship lined up. So I want to invite you, wherever you're watching from, to gather as a family and to engage in the songs, to sing along. The words will be on the screen. And it's a great way for us to worship our God together. So let's do that.
Hey, VAC. My name's Raquel Cole. If you don't know who I am a Vernon girl, but I'm coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. I was actually supposed to be flying home this weekend to visit my family, and the initial plan was for me to come and lead worship this weekend with you all at VAC. So this is really cool that I still get to do this with you over through my little iPhone. So thank you so much for letting me do this, VAC, and welcome to everyone who's tuning in. And I'm just so glad that you said yes to entering into the presence of God and to see what maybe He has for you. So we're going to worship together, and we're going to start with a song called The Lion and the Lamb. So welcome, and let's worship God in song together. All right.
Who can stop the Lord? Oh, 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 who can stop the Lord? Oh,
Kevin's going to be preaching in a little bit, and I know that he's going to be talking about that Jesus is enough and in the ways that God sanctifies us. And so I thought this would be such a wonderful song to sing together. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, and as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. And what a beautiful, beautiful promise that is. So let's sing this together. All that he has. lead us, Lord. So faithful, and let's remember that together right now as we sing this song. And even with all the craziness going on and the social distancing and the disconnectedness that I know a lot of us feel, we do have a faithful God who loves us and is looking out for us and that will never forsake us. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm going to use my cape. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion that fails. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, stars and their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Hey, wasn't that awesome? Man, I could almost hear you guys singing from here. Thanks so much, Raquel, for leading us in worship. It was a great time together to sing praises to our God and to sing of His faithfulness. Want to also encourage you at this time to, again, resource the ministries of the church, and you can use the text to give number there. It's on the bottom of your screen. If you text that number, it'll take you through to the Tithely app, which is your best option in this season in terms of giving. If you've got any questions, or it's somehow it's complicated for you, or you want to see what other options are available for you, you can always get a hold of Pastor Duane at the church. Just email him. It's duane@vernonalliance.org. He'll be happy to direct you and help you with any kind of complications or questions you may have as far as that goes. I want to also take this time to update you a little bit on what's been going on at Common Threads in the last couple weeks. When the restrictions kind of first came into place, we really had to reinvent how we were going to do this because we couldn't let people into the building. So we prepackaged things and handed them out, but our numbers really kind of dropped off. So started to get in touch with some of our local produce suppliers, and they've been super generous. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've been able to give away 1,500 pounds of produce. They come in nice little bags like this. Doesn't that look awesome? Nice potatoes, yummy carrots, nectar of the earth. So good. I'm just going to chew on this for a while. Gives you a great opportunity to continue to do your giving. All seriousness, though, I want to just have a shout out for the organizations that have been partnering together with us. Special thanks to Gleaners, to Zelaney Farms, Pilgrim's Produce, and also the Salvation Army as they continue to partner with us as we seek to kind of redistribute the resources of our community to those that would benefit from the most. So it's been great to kind of do this and see a great response in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the news continues to be disturbing. Another tragedy this past week in Nova Scotia that has rocked our world beyond so many other things that are going on. And it took me to a prayer. I use this, it's called Every Moment Holy. It's a prayer book that I bought a couple of years ago. And it takes me through some prayers that maybe I wouldn't normally pray. And it positions me in the presence of God in a way to pray about things that are going on in our society. And I found one that I just think is so appropriate. So why don't you pray with me as we bring our needs and the needs of our world to our God, and as we posture our hearts towards the Word of God that will be brought to us by Darren. So let's pray together. Lord, in a world so wired and interconnected, our anxious hearts are pummeled by the endless barrage of troubling news. We are daily aware of more grief, O Lord, than we can rightly consider, of more suffering and scandal than we can respond to, of more hostility, hatred, horror, and injustice than we can engage with compassion. But you, O Jesus, are not disquieted by such news of cruelty or terror and war. You are neither anxious nor overwhelmed. You carry the full weight of suffering. You carried it when you hung on the cross, and we believe that you carry it still. When the cacophony of universal distress unsettles us, remind us that we are but small and finite creatures, never designed to carry the vast abstractions of great burdens, for our arms are too short and our strength is too small. Justice, mercy, healing, redemption, these are your great labors, O God. And yes, it is your good pleasure to accomplish such works through your people, but you have never asked any one of us to undertake more than your grace will enable us to fulfill. Guard us then from shutting down our empathy or walling off our hearts because of the glut of unactionable misery that floods our awareness. Remind us that you have many children in many places around the globe. And would you move each of our hearts to compassionately respond to those needs that intersect with our actual lives? Lord, that in all places your body might be actively addressing the pain and the brokenness of this world. Each of us liberated and empowered by your Spirit to fulfill the small part of your redemptive work assigned to us. Give us discernment in the face of troubling news reports. Give us discernment to know when to pray, when to speak out, when to act, and when to simply shut off our screens and our devices and to sit quietly in your presence. Casting the burdens of this world upon the strong one who alone is able to bear them up. And so we lift up the families in Nova Scotia that have been affected by this tragedy, and we ask that your people in that place would be agents of mercy and compassion and grace. We ask that you would bring about healing like only you can. And now, as we turn our attention again to your word, we pray for Darren. We ask that you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit, that he would speak in your strength and your wisdom, and that we would be reminded again of the sanctifying work that you have wrought for us, and more importantly, of the sanctifier that you, Jesus, are to us. So bless us now as we gather in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Darren, over to you.
This is my breakfast. Looks a lot like my lunch, although sometimes I think my lunch is a little bit greener even than this. Fortunately for supper, I get something even more resembling normal food, though there's some strict limitations, especially on the protein. 4 to 6 ounces, which is hardly anything. As my granddaughter would say, it's so small you need a telescope to see it. And there's restrictions on carbs and sweets and alcohol and caffeine. Just a lot of limitations. But I can eat all the vegetables I want. All you can eat celery. Yay. The reason for this admittedly self-imposed regime is that our plan is every year at this time, this is year two, in the time between cross-country skiing, when cross-country skiing ends and canoeing really gets going, Kristen and I do a bit of a reset. It's called a metabolism reset. It's like a cleanse. Really could probably be classified as a liver cleanse, but it's really a total body cleanse because it doesn't just go on for a day or two or three or a week. It goes on for 4 weeks, 28 days. First 2 weeks of the cleanse is really not a lot of fun. It's kind of like, have you ever fasted for multiple days? For me, at least, the second day of the fast is the tough one. It's where, you know, if you're an angry person, the anger is going to surface. If you're sad, the sadness will surface. Whatever's there, that's the tough day. Well, this cleanse, the first 2 weeks are kind of like the second day of a fast for 2 weeks. But then as the third week starts, things start to feel a little better. You start sleeping really well, and a lot of the aches and pains and things that were just out of whack, they start to disappear. You got more energy, more clarity of thought. Well, this year our cleanse corresponded with this whole COVID thing, which has probably been good for me because all this time at home, if I wasn't on this really tight cleansing regime, I might be, instead of cleaning up, I might be clogging up and putting on, you know, next winter's insulation, even though it's only April. What we've discovered after several years of really short-term locations where we moved, you know, multiple times in the last 10 years, 5 or 6 times or 7 times or something like that, that whenever there's a change in your routine, a change in your location, that's a natural time to make other changes in your life. That shift just makes it easier to make other shifts. And if you can make even just a small but permanent shift, it can change your life dramatically over the long term. What kind of changes are you making in your life right now? Are you reshaping your routine in any way? Are you setting up some changes that you want to have ripple through your life over the next weeks and months and years? You know, if I wasn't doing a cleanse of some kind right now, I would probably be eating a lot of popcorn with a lot of butter and a lot of appies and a lot of chocolate and other things like that. And this would probably for me be a season of getting clogged up rather than cleansed physically. So it's actually probably a good thing. But maybe I want to suggest this to you. Maybe a reset, a liver cleanse, you know, fitness stuff, that's all good. Maybe that's a good thing to be doing. But maybe we should be shooting a little bit higher as a people in this season. Last week, Chet began our look at the fourfold gospel, the idea that Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. That's a summary of the basic doctrinal emphases of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, of which we are a part. Chet talked about Jesus, our Savior. Next week, Jeremy's going to be talking about Jesus, our Healer. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about Jesus, our coming King. Now, it's important to note that the topics aren't salvation and healing and the end times. The topic is Jesus, our Savior, Jesus, our Healer, Jesus, our coming King. And today I have the privilege of talking about Jesus, our Sanctifier. Jesus, our Sanctifier. Now, as I was preparing for this talk, as I often do, I pause at a certain point in my preparation when I'm thinking about what's the point of the message? What's the purpose? And I pause and I pray. I say, Lord, what's your purpose? What do you want to accomplish through this message? And the answer came very simply and sweetly, point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. Let me ask, on a spiritual level, how have things been going for you for the last few weeks? How has this isolation been playing out and the news and the shift of routine and the change of life? Would you say that your life as a whole is in a cleansing mode, or isn't it more of a clogging mode? Things are getting clogged up. And are you open to the idea of entering a time of cleansing? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, it's because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. It talks about Jesus being our holiness. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's Jesus' purpose with the church. Every church, the big church, you and I. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, it talks about Jesus. Jesus suffering outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. And a passage I want to spend some time on today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. In our doctrinal statement as the Christian and Missionary Alliance, Article 7 says this. It's the will of God that in union with Christ, each believer should be sanctified thoroughly, thereby being separated from sin in the world and fully dedicated to God. receiving power for holy living and sacrificial and effective service toward the completion of Christ's commission. This is accomplished through being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is both a distinct event and progressive experience in the life of the believer. That's a summary of this doctrine, this teaching on sanctification. And the point is that Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus is the one who makes us holy, who cleanses us, who changes us. We've talked about some of this through the 2020 Vision series, where we talked about holiness. But today we're shifting it just slightly and focusing in on the one who makes us holy. Now, holiness means being different. It means being pure. It means being set apart. But I want to make it really concrete today. Think about holiness this way. Holiness is in large measure about making us like Jesus. It's about becoming like Jesus. Jesus is our sanctifier, and he makes us like him. Let me ask again, what's your spiritual trajectory in these days? Would you say in these weeks of isolation that you are becoming more like him? What does it mean to be like Jesus? Well, back again to our 2020 Vision series, we saw that a follower of Jesus is like Jesus, loving God, loving people, sharing the good news, depending on God, many other traits. I also see in Galatians chapter 5, the list that we refer to as the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit, the result of the Spirit controlling us and working through us. That's also a great description of the life of Jesus. It's the life of Christ coming alive in us. Are you becoming more like that in these days? More full of love and joy and peace and all of those traits. I'd like to spend a few minutes in that 1 Thessalonians 5 passage and just unpack it a little bit. Now, there's an assumption about the people who are hearing these verses. The assumption is that they're followers of Jesus. This is a letter written to the church in Thessalonica. The principles apply to every church and every person in every church. But when they talk about church back then, they didn't mean people who attended a church building or an online portal. They meant people in a location who had repented of their sins, put their faith in Jesus, and been baptized. And it was all kind of wrapped up in the baptism package. They were people who followed Jesus, who were in right relationship with God. Now, if you're not in a right relationship with God right now, I just want to encourage you to recognize that you've done things that need forgiving. I want to ask you to be willing to turn from those things, to begin turning to God and trusting in what Jesus did when he died for you on the cross, to pay for all the wrong things you've done, and then to follow him. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, this, you know, sanctification, holiness, it's not on your radar. You really don't care. And the flip side, if you really don't care, if it's not on your radar, if this just doesn't in any way seem to relate to what you're about, then you're not there. You're probably not a follower of Jesus. But what we'll talk about today will give you an idea of what he wants to do when he gets a hold of you. Again, this is written to Christians. And it says this: may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. One simple observation: it's God who sanctifies. Jesus is our sanctifier. We don't clean ourselves up. We don't change ourselves. He does. It's his work. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. This is talking about a thorough, nothing superficial, nothing surface, a thorough, deep cleansing and changing. In fact, it goes on, it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't just a spiritual thing. This isn't just one aspect. It's spirit, soul, body, the absolute total person. He wants to work us over with his sanctifying power. And then we have this great promise. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He's going to do it. Philippians 1:6 says, the one who began a work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. He started it. He's going to finish it. It's guaranteed. You're going to become like Jesus. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of your present trajectory as a follower of Jesus, it's inevitable. It's going to be done. Now, how does this happen? How does it actually play out in our lives? Well, when I was 20 and I got on track with the Lord, well, more accurately, he got me on track with him. It was his work, really not mine. One of the things that happened immediately was a change in my temper. I can hardly remember anymore, except that I've written this down in the past, that I had quite a bad temper, but it just vaporized. I'd inherited it, I think, in some ways from my father, from my extended family, his father before him, but it changed. And things that used to make me want to punch just made me laugh. And I would enter the category of good-natured people, and I hadn't been there before. And again, I didn't do anything. It just kind of happened. Some of you know my wife, Kristen. Kristen, on her 40th birthday, we put her on trial. She was put on trial for being excessively sweet, nauseatingly nice, and compulsively kind and gentle. And I need to say, she was convicted on all counts. That's the woman I've lived with for over 30 years. That's the woman I've always known. So it's hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that before she came to faith, before I knew her, she had a bit of a potty mouth. In fact, she would take the name of the Lord in vain. She would use the name of Jesus in ways that were not honoring to him. But when she came to faith, that changed instantly. It was taken away without her even trying. It just changed, and she noticed it. And so, do we just sit there? Do we just sit there and let God fix us and we do absolutely nothing? Well, not quite, but it's probably closer to the truth than many of us believe. Have you ever done an escape room? We found out there was one just down the road from us here in Radium, and we went there on Thanksgiving weekend. We went there with my brother-in-law, Eric, and Kristen and I. We went and did an escape room, and we didn't escape. We didn't make it. We were a long way from getting out. We had fun, but we didn't escape. There were some puzzles we just couldn't solve. Well, this thing about spiritual growth and holiness, it's not a big puzzle. It's not a maze. It's not some secret code that we've got to crack. Again, the topic today isn't sanctification. The topic isn't holiness. The topic is Jesus, our sanctifier. Jesus as the one who does the job and makes us holy. Back to our doctrinal statement. It says, it's the will of God that in union with Christ, each believer should be sanctified thoroughly, thereby being separated from sin in the world and fully dedicated to God. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, put it this way. Listen closely. It's all connected with a living person. We are not filled with influence. We are not filled with a sensation. We are not filled with a set of ideas and truths. We are not filled with a blessing, but we are filled with a person. And its very essence is the indwelling life of Christ himself. The Christ life is a vital and divine experience through the union of the soul with the living Christ himself. If there's one thing we need to get a grip on as followers of Jesus, it's that truth of union with Christ, being united with Christ and in Christ. If you are his, if you're a follower of Jesus, Scripture says you died with him. Your old self died with him. You were buried with him. You were raised with him to newness of life, and you are now seated with him in the heavenlies, with all other powers under your feet. See, if you are his, Christ is in you, and you are in him, And wherever you go, there he is in all his resurrection power. That makes a difference when it comes to this issue of holiness. Now, if your experience as a follower of Jesus doesn't seem to reflect the fact that you died, were buried, were raised with him, seated with him, there's a few questions I'd like to ask you to ask yourself. In fact, we should all ask these questions. Question one, have I actually repented of my sins? Have I accepted the fact that I am a sinner deserving the worst punishment in all of creation? And am I sorry for that? And have I turned from that? Too many church people, it seems, just kind of pray to receive Jesus into their heart. They accept Jesus into their heart, and that's a concept you really don't see here. It starts with repenting and turning from our sins. And many people accept Jesus into their heart but never repent. Have you repented? Have you made the turn? Question number two. Have I put trust in Jesus? Am I resting in his work on the cross? Do I know that as Jesus said, it's finished, done deal, he paid for it all? Do I know that if I do mess up and sin, that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Here's another question. Do I understand and have I received the truth that I died with Jesus, I was buried with him, and I've been raised to newness of life? Do I understand that sin is no longer my master? I have a choice because my master is Jesus. And fourth, back to the doctrinal statement again, a great summary of these biblical truths. It's the will of God that in union with Christ, each believer should be sanctified thoroughly, thereby being separated from sin in the world and fully dedicated to God. Am I fully dedicated to God? Do I want to be holy? Do I want to be like Jesus? Is that on my radar at all? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'd like to suggest that alongside whatever other isolation projects we have going, whether you're cleaning up the storage area, writing a book, I know some people are really trying to write that book they've wanted to write, whether you're doing some other fitness things, whether you're doing a metabolism reset, whatever it is, consider adding this to the mix of the shifts you're making. Consider the total offering of ourselves to the one who can sanctify us through and through and keep our entire spirit, soul, and body blameless at his return. So let me ask, what would it look like? What would it mean for you to thoroughly repent of everything wrong you've ever done? What would it mean for you to thoroughly trust in Jesus' total forgiveness and cleansing? And what would it mean for you to totally offer yourself to him, to the one who loved you and gave himself for you? Imagine what it would look like. What would it take to get there? But don't just visualize it. I encourage you to get it done, because he fully intends to get it done. Father, give us a hunger to be like Jesus, to offer ourselves completely to you, and then to rest in the work that you do in us, body, soul, and spirit. Amen.
It's been so good to be with you and to worship with you in this very unique way. But let's respond to God's words for us with another song. It's all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love. been such a joy to be with you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Want to encourage you, if something came up in your heart and mind during the service this morning, during the worship, during the word, during your thinking, I just encourage you to get some prayer. Click on the button for prayer if you can. Email a pastor, call a pastor, call someone you know who loves Jesus and get them to pray for you and walk through whatever the next steps are for you. Be sure to stay connected. That is the real challenge in these days. Call someone you haven't talked to. Get online. Do a video meeting with them. Just stay connected and caring for each other. Next week, we come back looking at Jesus, our healer. But as we land this morning, please hear this from 1 Thessalonians. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. God bless.